In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A sound like the rushing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Little tongues of fire danced on the apostles' heads. Christ had promised to send his Holy Spirit to them, to give them strength and courage. Up to this point, the church was timid. They were scared of what might happen to them, who might break through those doors. But the Holy Spirit reminded them of all that Jesus had told them. And he turned their smoldering wick into a burning flame as those tongues of fire continued to dance. They spoke in unlearned languages, the Parthians, the Medes, and so forth, proclaiming the wonders of God, proclaiming the salvation that God has done for all people. Some made fun of them. Peter dismissed it. Then he rebuked them for killing the Son of God. And 3,000 of them were cut to the heart. 3,000 of them in one day repented and were baptized. And that same Holy Spirit who filled the apostles now filled them, even though they couldn't see tongues of fire. The church in her wisdom has chosen the reading of the five wise virgins for the last Sunday of the church year, because now we have come full circle. That Pentecost fire, the Spirit who came on the church at Pentecost, is still with his church throughout. And those who are found with that Pentecost fire burning brightly in their heart will enter with Christ into the marriage hall. What began at Pentecost is fulfilled today. What began on the actual day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago will be fulfilled when Christ returns. Many have been baptized with the Holy Spirit in fonts throughout the world, the fire of faith ignited. You are among them. In this cleansing bath, the Spirit has made you a virgin, pure and spotless, without any defilement, and has clothed you with a beautiful wedding gown. On that day, you were given a lamp burning brightly, and you were led to the entrance of an eternal heavenly city, waiting for the bridegroom to come, waiting for your salvation to appear, waiting for the one who took your sins upon himself and their curse, waiting for that light of the world who was extinguished in death so that you might have life, waiting for him to reappear in glory so that you might once again live with him forever. Oh, the joys of that Pentecost day, 3,000 people baptized in one day. The joy of your baptismal day. You were added to their number. You were added to their number, and all of heaven rejoiced as with wandering eye it peered into a font, only to see you emerge with faith burning brightly, courageous and zealous, filled with the Holy Spirit, even as the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you do not doubt what will happen to you when Christ returns. You are certain that heaven is yours because Christ is your Savior. He has died for you, and you have been brought into that death through holy baptism. And you have seen it throughout this past year as we have had a few children baptized as well. They too were filled with the Holy Spirit. Faith burst into flame in their heart, and they are waiting for Christ to return. They are our brothers and sisters as we stand side by side waiting to enter into that marriage hall. So rejoice. The bridegroom is coming soon. Rejoice. You are ready and waiting for his return. Do not let that fire of faith go out. Do not let the Spirit's zeal or joy be sapped from you. Keep your lamps burning brightly, For you do not know the day or the hour of judgment. It could be today. It could be many years from now. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we prepare to receive this bridegroom with joy. Today. But he delays. He's a long time in coming. He doesn't come when we expect him to come, but he delays out of grace. Many more need to be gathered. If he would have come 100 years ago, which of us would have been saved? We were not even born yet. He delays so that many more may be brought to him through the waters of baptism, many more saved by grace. And as he delays, many of the virgins fall asleep. They sleep in death. This could be us someday as well, but we do not assume that Christ will come after we die. In fact, quite the contrary. We assume that Christ will come while we are still living. And so we live each day as if it is the last day on earth. Faithful, holy, and godly lives. And if we happen to fall asleep in death, that will not hinder or stop anything, for Christ is coming to raise all the dead, even our beloved loved ones who have died in the faith. And we will go out with faith, with flames burning brightly, to meet him with joy and gladness. But it is not easy to wait. In fact, we're quite bad at waiting. We don't like it in the least. Not one of us chooses the longest line in the grocery store. We like the shortest line. We don't choose the slow lanes in traffic. We want the fast lanes. We want to get to where we are going. We have a purpose. We don't like waiting. As we peer out into this darkened world, we don't see what we want to see. We see many dangers and tribulations, adversities, riots, problems throughout the world, and even problems in our own lives. We are far from being perfect. And so it's very easy for us to lose focus and to start looking at everything that we can see around us. We get scared. The future is unnerving. That's why it's the future. We don't know what it will bring. Could be good things, could be bad. Probably both. The present itself isn't always that much more comforting. You never know what will happen. On top of that, as we sit in this darkness, the devil, that lion, prowls around waiting to devour, waiting for any opportunity to attack and get at us. And he sees us before we see him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Your spirit is willing, but your body is weak. Do not let your mind daydream to bigger and better things. Do not let your eyes wander to forbidden things. Do not trust in policies or governments or presidents or anyone else, not even family, but in Christ alone. How easy it is for us to lose our focus, to forget why we are here, that we are waiting for Christ to return. We are waiting for glory, not for pain and suffering. It is easy for us to be diverted to these things around us because it's what we see with our physical eyes. Did you notice that all 10 are virgins? All 10 were waiting for Christ to return. This parable is not about what will happen to the world. It's about what will happen to the visible church. All these churches that we see around us, every denomination, it's what will happen to them when Christ returns. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who calls themselves a Christian and has lived a good and godly life will make it into heaven. They will not be found with faith burning brightly. Many will lack the fire of faith. Many will have forsaken their baptismal faith, and the Spirit's fire is nothing more than a puff of smoke. Knowledge is still there. They still know a lot about Christ and who he is and what he has done, but knowledge is not faith. Faith desires to receive Christ. Knowledge simply has a lot of facts about him. So not all who are present in churches will be saved, only those with faith. Regardless of their denomination, those with faith will be saved. Those without, when he returns, they will be swept away into outer darkness, and the door will be shut, never to open again. So be wise. Keep your lamp burning. Trust in God alone. Otherwise, what joy could you have? What peace and comfort and reason to celebrate would you have if you were left outside? There are no substitutes for faith. There are no substitutes for this light burning brightly in your heart. Many know the scriptures, few believe them. It is very easy for us to lose focus as to why we are here and what we are doing. It is very hard for us to wait. We get bored. And we have many other things to do to keep us occupied, from spouses, to work, to chores, to things at home and things out there, to family and friends, vacations and sports, and the list goes on and on. We're constantly trying to juggle all of these things, and so that jar of oil is left home on the shelf. We don't have room. The Word of God, neatly tucked away on a shelf. You'd still be holding a lamp. You'd still look like a virgin, pure and spotless, but you would lack the fire of faith. Your baptism would be nothing more than a distant memory, something that happened a long time ago, but has no real implications on your life today. Faith quietly dies out, sadly, in many. And it doesn't go out with a bang or a fury, but simply through apathy. And as a fire simply puffs out, and few may even take notice, sadly, many's faith also extinguish. And we do not always even recognize it. It is hard to wait. It is hard to wait in darkness, but hang in there. Christ is coming soon. Be prepared night and day, and you prepare by receiving the Holy Spirit. As the Psalms say, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning." Receive this Holy Spirit. For he is the one who douses your smoldering wick so that faith bursts into flame. He forgives you all your sins and restores to you a new heart that loves and seeks to carry out God's will. Do not search for this Holy Spirit in your heart or somewhere out there, but receive him where he comes to you. Hear his external word. Receive his holy sacraments. For he is the spirit of wisdom and peace. You are not wise enough to make it. Neither am I. But the Spirit is. And he continues to fill you with oil so that you might have faith burning brightly when Christ returns. You are not smart enough. Neither am I. But that Holy Spirit is. Which is why he continues to come to us, giving us the forgiveness of sins, so we may be found right in God's sight. It is the Spirit that works faith in us. He makes us prepared and ready to receive Christ. And when our eyes begin to wander and faith begins to flicker, he redirects our attention back on Christ and his love. Back on that bridegroom who is coming soon for you. Yes, the bridegroom delays, but he does so out of grace. And he has not left you alone. He has filled you with that same Holy Spirit who filled those Pentecost apostles. So there is nothing to fear. There is no need to worry as you look into the future or even to your own life right now, for your bridegroom is coming. You do not need to wonder what will happen. For you cannot doubt that you have been baptized. You cannot doubt that God has forgiven you. You cannot doubt that he has put his body and blood into your mouth. For where this Holy Spirit is, there faith is. And where faith is, there the Holy Spirit is as well, keeping and sustaining your faith unto life everlasting. And by the way, who is this light that burns so brightly in your heart? Is it not Christ, the light of the world? Is it not the one who suffered and died for you so that you may have heaven? He is the reason that you are found right when God returns. Christ is the reason that you are saved. So you see, God has not left you. He has filled you with his Holy Spirit. He has filled you with Christ himself. For he is with you always, even to the very end of the ages. So rejoice again, dear virgins. The bridegroom is near. The time of Pentecost is almost over. Trim your lamps. The trumpets stand ready. Rise up. The angels are poised. Night will soon give way to day. Waiting to celebrating. Watching to rejoicing. Soon, very soon he will come. He's right around the corner. It won't be that much longer. And then whether living or asleep, you will go out to meet him in unimaginable joy and gladness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.